and Blake Johnson are brought up tonight, so let's give them a hand.
Morning. Are we good? Volume? So today we'll be learning from Colossians, and I just want to start out by asking you, kind of along the lines of what Pastor Rob said, is, you know, what are you going to do with your life? You know, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want other people to speak of you when your life is over? Do you want vision? Do you want to be famous? Do you want to be wealthy? Do you want to have accomplished many, many things? And perhaps more importantly, how do you want to be remembered as a Christian? Now, what if this was said of you? Maybe on your epitaph or during your eulogy. He was a holy and faithful brother. We always thank God when we pray for him because of his faith in Christ Jesus and the love that he had for all the saints, all the other believers in the church. He was fruitful for the Lord and exhibited love in the Spirit. Now, this is a abridged version of the reputation that the Colossians had. So, as we turn to Colossians 1, let's open up our Bibles. So just follow along as I read. We're going to read from verses 1 until verse 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about it in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard of it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Blessed is the ring of his word. So, as you notice, perhaps as we read, the reputation of the Colossians from verses 2, verses 4, and verse 6 is that they are holy and faithful. They are known for their faith in Christ, their love for all the saints, and that they're bearing fruit, and that they're growing. So, just by show of hands, how many of you want to have that reputation? Okay, cool. Alright. So, do we as a whole church, I mean, it looked like about half of us, so that's pretty encouraging, I guess. do we want to be holy, faithful, and loving? Do we want to be a witness that grows and bears fruit for God? And as we see these Colossians, it's like, what's not to love about them? These guys have it down. These guys have it together, right? So, what is the secret to their success? What makes them so great in the eyes of other believers, I suppose? And the two things I want to emphasize is that it's that they know the gospel, right? And they are growing in the knowledge of God. These are the two key aspects which we'll hopefully go through and illumine. And we'll see what happens. So, first of all, we should all know the gospel. It is vital to our faith, our hope, and our love. As if that wasn't obvious enough already, we can see that from the scripture. Because, first of all, in verse 4, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, right? Sorry. And the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, right? So these two other aspects of faith and love spring forth from the hope, right? And where is this hope coming from, right? As we read on, the hope is something that they have already heard about, and it's from the word of truth. And then the positive right there is the gospel, right? So we have the hope that comes from the gospel, right, is producing. From it springs forth love and faith, right? So that hopefully shows you the importance of the gospel, because, you know, it says there's faith, hope, and love, right? And the greatest of these is love. And when we realize that in order to have love, we have to have hope. And from hope, we get that from the gospel. I hope it becomes apparent, obvious, that it's important that you know the gospel. All right? I'm not going to go into the detail of that this aspect today, but in case you were wondering what this hope was, it is at the very minimum, eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? There's other things, but that's not what I'm going to emphasize and focus on today. So, from the gospel, we realize that it is crucial to bear fruit, to be effective and productive for the Lord. As we read today in the scripture reading, if you could put that up, 2 Peter 1, 9. Cool. 1, 5 through 11. And then I'll just read it one more time. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Right? That last part, cleansed from our past sins, that's the gospel. We've been cleansed from our sins because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Right? And that he died and rose again, and if we believe in him, we have eternal life. Right? That's how we are cleansed from our past sins. If we forget grace, if we forget the gospel, right, then we become ineffective and unproductive. It's pretty straightforward, yes? So, my encouragement to you guys is that you would know the gospel. And we'll go over it today. But I'm just going to go through this and then go back to that. When people wish to have hope, right, or when they ask for, oh, I need hope in my life, or they ask for faith, or they're in need of faith, or they wish to be loving, right, point them towards the gospel. Point them that they have been cleansed of their sin, right, and through that they will not only be fruitful and productive, but they will also spring forth from their hope, faith, and love, right? So that's why the gospel is important. And the second part is knowing God, right? Having knowledge of God. And a growth in the knowledge of God comes through various spiritual disciplines. For example, prayer, fellowship, worshiping, and all the while depending on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to illumine and make clear what's coming through the Scripture so that we can understand who God is, right? Some people without the Spirit read the Bible and they come to the conclusion that God is a, you know, impatient and hateful God, a wrathful God. And He is a wrathful God, but He is extremely patient, right? And that's something that we understand through the Spirit as He bears with our lives, as He bears with Israel for many, many centuries, right? Millennia now, I guess. So we depend on the Spirit to understand and grow in knowledge of God. As we read the Scripture, as we sing songs, like we just did, that talks about how great is His faithfulness, right? And as we sing this, I hope that as we clap our hands, not bashing on that, where He disappeared, sorry, but that it wouldn't distract you from the words. And I'll share a little story later as to why, you know, sometimes we can just forget what it's actually encouraging us to remember in these songs. And, so from the text, Paul lets us know, turning back to Colossians 1, around verse 9, okay, that it is through growing in knowledge of God that we are able to have the following. And that's obvious through the word "in order that," right? It is growing from the knowledge of God that we have a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him in every way. A life that bears fruit in every good work. A life that, obviously, if you don't have knowledge, then you can't grow in knowledge, right? That you would be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you can have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father. These are the things that spring forth from knowledge of God and of wisdom and understanding, right? Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And please note, once again, the gospel, that it was God who qualified us. It is nothing that we deserve. It is nothing that we did or earned through our works, but it is through grace. Right? So if you read from, I don't think I need to read it, but I will. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this, right? They're praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened according with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Right? So these things, I mean, how many times have you been, or you asked, or have been asked, oh, I need joy in my life, I need strength from God, I need, you know, to live better according to His Word, a life that is pleasing to Him. I don't know if you've asked those questions, and if you haven't, then maybe you should be. If you have, then here's what I want you to turn to, and that is the Scripture, right? How do you grow in the knowledge of God? And it is through the Spirit working in you that you understand who God is, right? And through this knowledge of God, you can grow in these other various aspects of bearing fruit through your every good works, and be strengthened and have joy. All right. And I think it's also interesting to point out that He doesn't pray for them Like you look at these guys and you're like, wow, they're doing really well. It doesn't seem like they need any prayer. It doesn't seem like there's anything I could pray for them, right? And it becomes apparent that in verse 9 that Paul, no matter what situation they were in, he is praying for their growth in knowledge. And how is that? Is that the more literal translation of "since the day we heard about you"? It's not when, oh, maybe Epaphras just told them about this group of people that seem to have an interest, and we're just going to pray for their salvation, right? Through the context of the Bible and the immediate context of this passage, it becomes obvious that, or at least obvious to me, that Paul is continuing to pray for them despite all the faith and love that they're showing. Why is that? Because in the Greek, since the day we heard about you, it's more since the day we heard. So you'd have to use context to figure out heard what, right? Heard what is either something, is definitely something that he's talking about before, right? So it's either that whole paragraph from verse 3 to verse 8, where it talks about how great they're doing, or it's talking about simply verse 8, where it says, "and who also told us of your love in the Spirit," right? Both of which are very exemplary and indicate that they're doing well as a church. And just to look at other passages that show it's not unprecedented, that it's happened before or after, I'm not sure which came first, Ephesians or Colossians. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, if you'll turn there. Right? It begins in a very similar manner. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints," right? It's already apparent that they have faith, that they have love for all the saints, just as the Colossians did. "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Right? "So that you may know him better." Okay? So even though they have faith, they have love for all the saints, Paul keeps on praying for them that they would grow in the knowledge of God. Right? Again, this knowledge of God is important from 2 Peter 1-5, and it shows this progression of having faith. And that you add on with goodness, and to goodness, at that point, he says, to goodness, knowledge, right? And that leads to self-control, perseverance, goodness, brotherly kindness, and then love. So why does this matter to us? If Paul prays for the Colossians when they're exemplary, holy, loving and faithful, right? When you yourself evangelize and pray for the salvation of others, when they come to Christ, you don't just take a step back, "Oh, I've done my job. They're good. Now they're on their own. They're in God's hands," right? May you continue to pray for them. May you continue to pray that they would grow in the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Right? In order that, and so on and so forth. Next, when people ask you for these types of prayer, for joy, for thankfulness to God, for a fruit-bearing life, for strength, right? You point them to the gospel. You point them to the Word of God, so that they can grow in understanding, right? And through that, they can have all these other things, right? And from in Colossians 3, verse 16, It's a couple pages over. This is what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Right? So in these praise songs, we find spiritual truths of God and grow in that knowledge of God. So when you're singing, listen to what the words say. I went through a very hard time not too long ago. I lacked joy. I needed strength. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't focus. I tried to listen to Christian songs, Pandora, and then to get my mind off of what was going on. Didn't work. Still stayed up and only slept 2 hours. I read the Bible, and I wasn't receiving the joy, and I wasn't becoming stronger. I wasn't becoming more patient. I wasn't joyfully giving thanks. And why? I think we read from 2 Peter that I forgot the gospel. Right? And I met up with Pastor Rob, and you know, I shared with him, you know, like, this is what how I've been trying to deal with it. He's like, well, that's not right. And I was like, okay. I was thinking about turning to listening to secular songs, and you know, yeah. But thankfully, he interjected and was like, hey, you know, these things should be working. So what I realized I was doing was I was just trying to drown it out and not think about it. But so when I was listening to the Christian songs, I wasn't listening to the lyrics. I wasn't letting the truth of God sink into my heart and remind me of the cross. So I decided to sing some praise songs. I finally came across this one song called Because He Lives. The first verse and chorus are as follows. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And notice how it teaches you that God is in control, right? He holds the future. It teaches you the gospel. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we can face tomorrow. Right? So, maybe you find yourself not living as you ought to, or falling short in some of the things that you want to, or how you want to be like. What do you do? How do you console yourself? Do you just tell yourself, I need to be better, so tomorrow I'm going to try harder and be holy. Tomorrow I'm going to be more faithful. Tomorrow I'll be more loving. It just takes more effort on my end. I have only this to say to you. Turn to the gospel. Surrender yourself. Give up your pride. Know that God already bought you with His shed blood. And it's not about what you've done or how well behaved you are, but through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because through our effort alone, there is no salvation. Turn to the gospel and remind yourself of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Let's imagine that I was not a Christian. I'm walking down to Volcano for boba. Right? I get hit by a car and you happen to be walking by. How many of you could tell me the gospel? Okay. Cool. Can you guys raise it higher? Okay. Cool. I'm going to hold you accountable for that. So, I'm going to do a brief overview of the gospel as presented in Colossians. And then I'm going to do a little, let's turn you guys loose to a little activity. All right? God. God is the creator of heaven and earth. He created everything in it. He created man. You can see that from chapter 1, verse 16. God is just and will punish sin. You can see that from verse 16 of chapter 3. I'm jumping around, I'm sorry. If I had the time, I would read through Colossians and point it out as it comes. But due to time, I will not. God is love. In chapter 2, verse 13, you can turn there really quickly. It says, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. Well, where's love in all that? Maybe that might be what you're asking. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? So that shows that God is love. And he demonstrates through the cross. Man is sinful because of Adam's disobedience. And because of that, we have also broken God's law. We have destined for heaven apart from Christ. In chapter 1:21, it says we were engaged in evil deeds. And in chapter 3, verse 5, it gives a little list of what some of those evil things are. Immorality, impurity, passion, lust, in other words, evil desire, greed, idolatry. And because of that, in verse 6, it says, God's wrath is upon us. So, in light of this, we cannot save ourselves, no matter how good we think we are, because we've done these things, and God's wrath is upon us. But God is love, right? Jesus, fully God and fully man, in Colossians, it points out and makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is God because through him all things were made. Because God is love, he sends his son Jesus Christ to die in our place. And that we can see from chapter 1, verse 22. He experiences our condemnation. He dies for us so that we can be reconciled with God through his death. For the purpose, for the express purpose of being holy, for the purpose of holiness. And now it comes to our response. Our response is to believe in Christ as our Savior, our Redeemer, and repent. And that's from chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 8. The repentant life is described, I think, in the end part of chapter 3 and so on. It says that we turn from anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech, becoming more Christ-like in general. And there's many other things. It talks about how we are to be as husbands, how we are to be as wives. Well, not we, but you ladies. And how children should interact with their parents and how parents should interact with their children and how we should interact with our masters and how the masters should interact with, or boss, right, interact with their underlings. No, I'm just kidding. So that is the gospel. Our response is to believe in Christ as our Savior and hopefully from that faith that we have, prove or bear fruit for Christ. All right? I'll just do a brief summary of what I went through today, and hopefully what we'll take away is that the gospel is important. Growing in the knowledge of God is important. And that comes through the Bible, through spiritual songs, hymns, psalms. And what we should be doing for one another, if we wish to grow in hope, love, and faith, is to remind people of the gospel. When we want to have joy, strength, and so on, right? You point others towards the Bible, scripture, so that they can grow in the knowledge of God. And you pray for them that the Spirit would illumine and make clear to them what the Scripture is teaching about God. Okay. Right now, all those people that raised their hands. Alright? All those people that raised their hands earlier. Go to someone in this room. Because the other people don't know the gospel. Tell them the gospel. So all the people that raised their hand, find someone that didn't raise their hand and tell them the gospel.
Thank you.
You guys have fun?
Yes, no.
Good. No? I'm sorry. So hopefully everyone in this room knows the gospel and has heard the gospel. And I pray that you guys know that you have a response. You need to respond. If you don't make a decision, that is also a response that you are rejecting God. If you have more questions, keep talking to the person that you talk to, or you can find Pastor Rob. So with that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your Son Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that he took upon himself all of our sin, all that we deserve, and experienced hell on our behalf. And Father, how gracious you are and how loving you are, because we do not have to earn this salvation. We do not have to earn eternal life through the obedience to the law, but rather through faith. Because if we were to try and do it on our own, we would surely fail, Lord. We thank you for your gift that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we live for you. May we understand the gospel and become a group of people, a body of Christ that exhibits hope, faith, and love in you, Lord. And may we just be filled with thankfulness, filled with joy, filled with your strength, Lord. That we would understand that we are weak and you are strong, and that we have an omnipotent God that we can depend on no matter what we're going through. And I pray that you would work in the hearts of those who have yet to put their faith in you, and that you would soften their heart through your Holy Spirit. That they would come to you, Lord, and repent and grow in Christ, Lord. And may you fill them with knowledge of your will, understanding and spiritual wisdom, Lord. Father, may you give them the Spirit so that they can understand the gospel, that they may submit to the gospel and understand your grace because you have given your Son for us, Lord. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, God. I think it was a good example, actually, for us to try to. I don't know how many of you guys